Hello again. I'm Pastor Bronk Flint of the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, and I am so grateful that you're joining us once again on this journey into God and this pathway into a discipleship training. We're terming these the discipleship training manuals, and this is Lesson 8, and Lesson 8 is changing your world, changing your world. So I want to welcome you. Once again, and as I have said from the very beginning, thank you for watching these. And of course, we're going to be adding along our notes and PDFs where you can follow. And if you're just into the first couple of ones, those are already available for you. And maybe you're going to be watching this a year from now, and all these will be available, all the notes. But today, we want to start by saying welcome once again. Maybe you have been just recently born again, or as I've said many times before, you're coming back from a long road of being away from God, and you're coming back and saying, what did I miss? What was it in my foundation that really wasn't where, you know, I thought it was? And so what we want to do is we want to build a foundation from the very beginning. And I've said this, church is vitally important. The continual teaching ministry of a good pastor is vitally important, because all we're giving you, which is very, very wonderful, is we're giving you foundation, and we're giving you a skeletal structure. And a skeletal structure is just that. It's the basic bones. So you're able to begin to grow systematically. But there's nothing like going to church weekly and a couple of times a week, if possible. And that, as I've said before, that may not be a physical location. For many of you, it's tuning in to here or other places like us on this same journey into God. So it's vital that you listen and that you begin to read your Bible. And we've talked about that already. And because the things that we're teaching even tonight have a much more expanded version. Much more expanded version, and we're not even beginning to try to add all the things that we could add during a series teaching or through months and years of teaching on these things. So praise God. I'm so thankful for your participation in this and your willingness to be taught, and I have already heard from other people how much they are enjoying these and how much it's helping their lives. So we want to remind you that a significant change, a significant life-changing or a life-altering change has taken place in your life. That's why you're here. That's why you're watching this. Life-altering means something totally. You have become a total new person recently. Or you're watching this and saying, I want to be reminded of who I am and what I am. So I'll tell you this, life-changing. An absolute life-changing experience has taken place in your life. And this is a familiar scripture that we've used before in these lessons prior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, let me clarify that for just a moment. It's vitally important. What all things have become new? That's very important that you understand that. We talked about what the terminology of this, of old things passed away, a new creation or a new creature. We, in past lessons, talked about what that really meant. But we want to specify today. We want to say, what does it mean that all things are become new? So what part was changed? What part of you was changed? This is vitally important because the lesson today is changing your world. And it's very important that you understand the part of you that was changed so that you can change the parts of your world that are not yet changed to the place where you want them to be. So what part of you changed? Well, it was your spirit that changed. That's the part of you that changed. And we went into Jesus describing the born-again experience and what that terminology means, being born again. But that's the part of you that changed, specifically your spirit, your inward person, your inward man. There's a number of ways to say it. But that's the part of you that did change. And it changed instantly the day and hour that you asked Jesus to come into your life and you repented of your sins and you prayed the sinner's prayer. That part of you instantaneously changed. And we talked about all the different appetite changes that took place, or things that you now want to do and things that now you don't want to do. There was an absolute instantaneously adjustment to your moral appetite. Something absolutely changed on the inside of you that thousands and thousands of hours of counseling or school, or you just could never have made that transition through natural process. It just instantly changed on the inside of you. But what things did not change? What things did not change instantaneously? I'm going to say some things that are very simple, but it'll give you an idea of what we're trying to get across to you. Your address, your physical living address, may not have changed. You, just because when the word says all things become new, it's talking about all the things on the inside of you that became new. Your natural physical address probably didn't change from the day that you were born to the next day, not unless you were in a moving process, but that's not what it's talking about. A physical address change is not what happened. Your body did not change. Your body did not change. In other words, if you weighed a specific weight before you prayed, if you'd got on the scales 5 minutes before you, or 2 minutes before you prayed, and whatever you weighed then and stepped over on the scales, your body didn't change. Your body, the weight, the composition of your body, whatever your body was, that didn't change. Your physical appearance didn't change. Nothing on, you know, nothing physical outside on your body changed as a result of it. Your personal circumstances did not change. They did not change instantly. They may have, you may have gotten some good news and reprieves over the next few days and God began to work in your life, but just instantaneously, your personal circumstances did not change. You may have been going through a divorce, a separation, an estrangement from your friends or family, or maybe you had kids that were estranged from you and you hadn't seen them. They wouldn't talk to you, and or family members that wouldn't talk to you. But even though that was in place, you changed on the inside, but none of that changed instantly. You may have been going through a legal suit. Somebody may have been suing you. Physical things or financial challenges, all those kinds of things. And the list could go on and on and on about what your life may have been going through prior to the moment that you were born again. So none of that, when it says all things are changed, it's not talking about any of that. All of that still remained the same. The next morning it was pretty much still the same. None of those things may have changed in the moment that you were born again. But now, once you're born again, now you have access to change all these things. You absolutely can change these things. In other words, if there's any of those things that you don't want, that are not according to the mind of Christ or the Word of God, you can begin to change those things. I'll say this, salvation is a package deal. It really is a package deal. In other words, the Word tells us that the word salvation includes an entire package. Primarily, salvation is your reconciliation to God. It is the born again is your spiritual reconciliation to God. But with that spiritual reconciliation came an incredible package of healing and deliverance and financial prosperity, in the sense of the word, that God wanted to bring you out of any dregs of problems and situations that you may have been having. So salvation is not only a spiritual change, but it includes the availability of the power of God to change every part of your natural world. Let me say that again. Salvation is a package deal. Salvation is not only a spiritual change, but it includes the availability. In other words, it's part of the package. Now it's going to be up to you to accessorize that. The availability of the power of God to change every part of your natural world or life, however you want to say it. The scriptures teach us, I like to say it this way, and as again I'll say this, and again I'll say this, is this is a skeletal teaching. It's to help you get started. It's to help put a kind of a ready reference in your billfold or in your pocket, and you say, okay, I've listened to those lessons. At least I have an understanding. The next Sunday when pastor teaches on this, or somebody that I trust that's teaching like him teaches on this, I get it. I'm kind of getting it. So we're laying a foundation. But there's the always. The scriptures teach us some always. Always. Always what? Always his will. Always his will promises. In other words, you can look at certain situations in your life and say, this is an always. What are you talking about, always? Well, it's always his will, his being God. It's always his will for your health. Now, you're going to have to trust me on this because, as I said, this is a skeletal teaching, and you know, I could go for months, and we do oftentimes, and other teachers that are in here that teach with me in this church, we'll teach on all the promises, and we'll teach on line on how this all works. But believe me, from years and years of study, meditation of God's Word, and comparing all scriptures from the beginning to the end, I can tell you that these always exist in the Word of God, and they are sound. In other words, there's no contradictory statements from the Word of God that ever contradict what I'm saying. So we'll prove those if you'll keep watching, if you'll keep turning in and tuning in and being a part of our services in the days ahead. But it's always His will for your health. Always. Always God's will. It's always His will for your healing. He always wants you healed. It's always His will for your emotional peace. Always His will for your emotional peace. And it's always His will for your financial supply. Now, the list could go on and on and on about all the always, but these are three major areas of our life that we all face from time to time. And I really wanted to get you acued into those tonight or today. So this is another way to say it. It's just in another, it's kind of the same, but yet it is the another way to get it across to you. There are the always God's will, and there are the scriptures of the never his will. It's the never his will promises, if you want to put it that way, in a negative connotation, but yet it's very positive to understand. It's never his will to be unhealthy or to have you unhealthy. It's never his will to live with a physical infirmity. It's never his will to have anxiety, worry, or fear. It's never his will to be financially destitute. Well, the question may be, well, yeah, but I'm that way. I know, but what I said was just because you were born again doesn't mean that all things in the natural instantly change. Now you've been given a tremendous reservoir of promises and power and all kinds of God-given authority to begin to change the world that you live in. And God will do it for you because He's a loving God. The same God that born you again, in other words, changed your inward person, is also equally desiring to change your outside physical circumstances and natural person. If your circumstances are different than His will for your life, then it's important for you to change your world through His authority. And that's up to you. It really is up to you from that point on. Now, prayer changes things. Prayer does change things. And we've been talking about over the last several lessons about prayer and the Bible and different aspects of relationship with God. But prayer changes things. But there are different categories of prayer. Worship is a category of prayer, but there's a category of prayer that I would call the confessionary or the speaking God's word category. One of the categories of prayer is confessionary speaking. In other words, what you say in regards to God's word or with God's word. And I'd say this goes beyond. It really goes, what I'm teaching today, it really goes beyond positive thinking and just positive speaking. There are people in the world that will tell you that positive thinking is very healthy for you. They might not know Christ, but they have found that positive thinking helps them. It gives them a positive attitude, an optimistic attitude, and they find that life works better through that. And they're right. It really does have a basic principle from God's word. But this goes far beyond just positive thinking. It goes far beyond positive speaking. It actually goes into a place where the power of God gets involved with the things that you really want to change. It goes to the source of all original creative power. What I'm telling you today is the reason why we have a platform to be able to change our world is because God offered to us this place or platform, however you want to say it, foundation of being able to change our world through an example of He Himself, what He Himself acted in the creation of the world. Now I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and it is in Genesis, the very, very first book of the Bible. And it is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said," now this is the key to our lesson today, and God said, I'm repeating that, it's not there as I'm reading it, but I'm getting the emphasis over to you. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Genesis chapter 1 is a continual repeat now of God and God said. I'm not reading that for you today in this lesson, but I invite you to go to Genesis chapter 1. That's the very first book of the Bible that you have, and just read that. You'll be surprised of like, wow, and God said, let there be light, let there be the earth, let there be animals, let there be man. Or, you know, well actually, when he got to man, he didn't just speak that into existence. He said, let us create man in our own image. Then he actually put his hands on the physical ground which he created. So man's a little different because that's why we're so special to God. But God spoke. He spoke the stars into existence. He spoke the universe into existence. And you'll find if you go down through the checklist of Genesis chapter 1 that the foundation is there. God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. He didn't do any physical acting like he went and got something and began to put it together mechanically. He just spoke. And as he spoke, the Spirit of God, which we understand to be the Holy Ghost, brought all these things into existence by a creative work. And all these things came, really, you'll learn later as you begin to study the Word, that all the essence of creation, all the molecular creation came out of the essence of the one that we call the Word or Jesus the Christ. So it's a very wonderful mystery, but you'll learn more and more. And don't try to figure it all out just right to start with. But the lesson today is this, that God spoke. So why is that important to us? Well, it's important to us because that's where we get our authority to begin to speak and change the world in which we live in. God created everything by what he spoke. Jesus, then, 4,000 years later, which was his only begotten son, comes into the planet and he teaches us the same thing that God teaches us by way of example in Genesis chapter 1, but he teaches his disciples, in which we're his disciples and you're his disciple now, he teaches us this same foundational truth, how to change your world through your spoken words. Now, I'll read these scriptures to you. Now, this is in the time of Jesus. You have to fast forward 4,000 years. Jesus is 4,000 years past creation. But when Jesus gets here, he teaches us how God works, how his Father not only created the universe, but how we as Christians are supposed to create our universe or change the world we live in. Remember what I said? We were instantly changed on the inside, but Still, there may be a lot of baggage in your life. Guess what? You don't have to live with that the rest of your life. You can begin to work on that. You can begin to change that. And you can see all these things, every single thing in your life changed by the power of God's word. But listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, as a result of that principle, what principle? The one we just said, whosoever shall say, Jesus said, whosoever shall say into this mountain. And I will stop right here and say that this mountain is your mountain, personalized, whatever it is. Like I said, you come into Christ. You may have been going through a divorce. You may have been going through a separation. You may have been going through a financial situation. The list could go on, and not only any one of those, but multiple of those. I mean, all of those may have been going on. You may have been being sued by somebody. You may have just lost a family member. You may have just lost your wife or husband that you'd been married to for 25, 30 years. And the list could go on and on. None of that changed the moment that you were born again, but your whole life changed inwardly. Now, you get a chance to turn to those mountains. Those are mountains. Those are things of obstruction in your life that you're looking at and saying, boy, I just wish that they reflected the same kind of experience on the outside that I've had on the inside with Jesus Christ. And guess what? They can, because now Jesus teaches us that whosoever shall speak unto whatever the situation is, the mountain is the situation, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, as a result of that, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. In other words, they will come to pass. Now, the Amplified Bible says it like this, and I like this. Jesus, replying, said unto them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whosoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it will be granted to you, and you will get it. You will get it. Hallelujah. That's really good. Now, here's how to change your world or your present circumstances in life. And as I said, confessing God's word is one of those major ways. It is an avenue of prayer. There's different types of prayer. There is prayer as in petition, like I'm asking you for something. There's a prayer of worship. I love you, God. And then there is a prayer. In other words, you're speaking what you're speaking out in front of you with your mouth, but you're speaking it before God. And it will begin to affect your world because you're believing this, that the authority of Genesis 1, that God spoke these things. Now Jesus said that authority is given to you because just like God spoke and he created, now for you, the born-again believer, if you speak to your mountain, if you speak to whatever needs to be changed, if you need to create a new world, he's saying if you'll believe it when you say it, and keep saying it, then it will come to pass. You'll get it. You'll get it. I like what the Amplified says. You'll get it. So praise God. I will tell you this. All your confessions really need to be based on the Word of God. In other words, there needs to be a substantive scripture that will back it up. And of course, you're not going to be speaking things that are amiss. The Bible calls them amiss. That means you can't get it because it would be totally out of the will of God. And that goes back to appetites. It'd be foolish. I hope you have a good laugh with this. I hope this example. It'd be foolish for you to speak into existence like trying to get another person's husband or wife or, you know, something like that. Those kinds of confessions will never take place because that's not who you are and that's not who God is. But confessions concerning your health, your finances, your emotions, all those things can be truly changed for the betterment as you confess. Now, as I said, it's vitally important that we have Scripture on all these things. In this lesson, I'm going to just give some examples. I'm not going to go through everything completely, but I'm going to talk about, just for the next few moments, three applications. The application to emotions, and the application to healing and health. Those two are kind of the same, but yet there's a little bit of difference. And also the application of finances. And I can tell you these are all in the always and the nevers. In other words, they're always His will for you to have the positive and the blessing side of this, and it's never, ever, 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 ever His will for you to be destitute from any of these emotionally, physical, or financial blessings. So now if you're watching this for the first time before it's edited, we may not have these up, but by the time you're watching this in a edited format on the face page of our website, soon thereafter, these things will have a PDF of all of these confession sheets and everything that I'm about to present. Now, we have already available on our website these particular handouts, or I would say PDFs. And the first one that I'm going to mention to you, and I would say this again, I'll repeat and say this is a skeletal structure. You could find Scripture on every area of your life that needs to come under the ascendancy of the Word of God and things that you know needs to change about it. But let's talk for just a few moments and let me give you an example. So you'll have in front of you part of the notes that you're looking at. You will see that the first one is Scriptures for Mental and Emotional Health. It comes down to peace. It really just comes down to the solid rock of peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world has peace, what I'm giving to you through the born-again experience is peace." It's a shame to have the availability of that, and it's not just accessorized through an outside source. It's actually in us. That peace is actually in us. But sometimes it's very important that we stand on the Word of God and claim those things and speak our world into existence. Now, there are a number of these. I haven't counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We've got 15 confessions that are based on the Word of God, because after every single confession, there's a Scripture there, and I would encourage you to look up the Scripture, because looking up the Scripture is it's vital to know that, first of all, that we're telling you the truth, and then the other thing is that you get it. You understand, hey, this is really based on the Word of God, so this is your confidence, you know. But when I take these, I'm going to use myself an example. Let's say I'm going through a personal emotional time. Now, I consider myself to be mature in the Lord grown up in Christ. But what if I'm going through some kind of emotional battle? Or what if I see in my life that I look at my life and I say, you know what, stuff kind of bothers me at times, and I shouldn't let stuff bother me the way that it does. And, you know, everybody has, you know, some challenges at times, but, man, I just have sometimes several days in a row where I feel depressed or down, or it feels like there's a cloud over me. God doesn't want any clouds over you. God doesn't want any anxiety over your mind or emotions. And there might be a number of different reasons for that. It may be some physical things, and then praise God, we can change the physical things through other confessions as well. It may have been how you were taught, you know, growing up, or influence of other friends, or different things that you'd been going through, like I listed, you know, like I talked about, divorces, legal suits, all kinds of, you know, challenging things in life, being estranged from family members, all kinds of things. But let me give you an example. Let's say I'm going through some of that, and I want to change my world. I want to get to a place where nothing ever bothers me anytime. And I take out one of these confessionary sheets. We're going to call them a confessionary. And the confession is going out of my mouth. I have to speak it. I can't think it. I have to speak it, because God didn't think creation into existence. He spoke creation into existence. And Jesus followed up by saying, "Whosoever shall say with his mouth and speak to these mountains, they will be removed." So the first one on this particular sheet, I would just read this and speak it out loud as if I personally, this was for me. This was absolutely for me. So this has everything to do with emotions, mental or emotional health. And I would say this right out loud, not reading it. I wouldn't just read it. I would read it out loud, and I would mean it to say something to God for me or from me. "Though I live in this flesh, I fight with spiritual weapons mighty enough to pull down all strongholds. Any thought, any feeling, any imagination that would try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, I call you captive. You are obedient to the truth of Jesus Christ." And we gave you a scripture there, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. So that's valid. We've got something to go off here. The next one, "I'm filled with all joy." You say, "Pastor, I'm not filled with joy." That's what we're talking about. This is where you change your world. You didn't lose any weight the moment that you got born again. Your hair may have been thick or may have been thin. You know, a lot of things we wish would have changed. That didn't change. The inward person changed. Now the outward world that you live in, you can change that. You can begin to speak. You may have been an emotional wreck. Emotions are affected by the spirit, so you may have found a great relief the day that you were born again, but still they may try to grow back. This is why you continue to speak these things. I would say this. This is the second one. "I am filled with all joy, and I am filled with all peace. I have not only enough hope for today, but hope that abounds forever through the Holy Spirit." And that is Romans 15:13. Then I would say, "My soul does not live in depression, nor does it house anxiety within me. I will hope in my God. I will praise and worship Him, for He is the health of my mind and emotions. He is the source of my well-being." Psalms 42:11. And you can look these up, and you can actually read the psalm after you make the confession. "I am not anxious about anything. I take all matters to God in prayer, and I thank Him for His faithfulness. Therefore, God's peace rests, guards my mind and my heart and my mind. I have peace that goes beyond all logic and worldly understanding." That's Philippians 4:6-7. "My thoughts are filled with truth, honesty, justice. My thoughts are filled with purity, love, things that are of a good report, anything that is virtuous and praiseworthy. I put my mind on these things." And that's Philippians 4:8. "God has not given me the spirit of fear. He has given me a righteous spirit of power and a godly spirit of love and a mind that is steady and sound." That's 2 Timothy 1:7, and those scriptures actually bear those things out. "I have been given beauty for ashes. The oil of joy runs over me and washes away my mourning. I put the garment of praise and worship you, Jesus, and heaviness is lifted from me." Well, we could go on. There's several more available for you, and I would just say, if you're having a battle past salvation for any of those things, then that is your option. Now, I can't make you do that, And no one can, but we're giving you the availability to change your world through these things and have said how they will affect your life. Let's talk about health for a moment. Let's say there you have an infirmity in your body. Let's say it's an old standing thing or just something that started, or an injury. Maybe you've got a sports injury. Maybe you've got some kind of injury that, you know, you just hurt your back recently, or it's been a chronic thing, or it's been a debilitating thing. It's been kind of getting worse as the years gone by. You got saved and you're saying, wow, I feel so good on the inside. I wish the outside felt as good as the inside. Well, you can cause the outside to feel as good as the inside, but you've got to begin to speak these things into existence. Now, we have these scriptures, and we have this PDF as well, and it's important that you avail yourself to these, and you print them out, or you can read them, and I would say just read them over and over. One time, I wish just one time worked, and one time would be enough if we could believe it, but sometimes it takes multiple times. So I would say read these things, speak these things several times a week. And just get them where, you know, that you can. I have a good friend that says pain is a preacher. Pain is a preacher. And in other words, if you have a physical infirmity in your body, it's preaching to you the whole time that God's word is not true, or God, the always and the nevers are not true. But here's where we preach back, and our preaching is stronger. Our preaching is we're going to speak the word of God, and we're going to change our world through the things that we speak. And again, thinking it will not suffice. It has to be said. Now, this is health and healing. I serve the Lord my God. He blesses my bread and my water. God himself takes sickness away from me and my house. That's Exodus 23:25. My God is the Lord that heals me. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my healer. Exodus 15:26. I bless you, Lord, and I do not forget any of your benefits to me. You forgive all my sins, and you heal all of my diseases. That's Psalms 103, verse 2 through 3. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from every sickness and every disease, including every sickness and disease and every disease, not specifically written in the law. I'm free from all sickness and every disease. I would say to you, I'll just give you a quick, real quick personal testimony. Some of these, and especially this one, I quoted all the way through the last few years, 2020, 2022, 21, in regards to COVID and those kinds of things that was, you know, out there rampant. And even when those things come and they come to you, you just keep confessing. You just keep confessing. You don't, I mean, just, it's just like I said, you don't take the outside circumstances. You change the outside circumstances. Jesus himself took infirmity and sickness away from me. He took it. It is illegal for weakness and sickness to attack my body. I refuse it. I am strong. I am well. I am healed and I'm healthy. That's Matthew 8:17. And I didn't say what the previous one was. That was based on Galatians 3:13 and Deuteronomy 28:61. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. By his stripes. This is one of the premier. I am healed. All punishment was laid upon Jesus at the cross. He bore the penalty of sin and sickness away in his body. I never have to have sickness in my body. I'm healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Hallelujah. I forbid any sickness or disease from attacking my body. Every virus, this is one of those ones I could imagine, you know, the viruses out there that we're attacking, and I would speak this, and I would say, I forbid any sickness or disease from attacking my body. Every virus, COVID-19, doesn't matter. Every virus or every germ that it would attempt to attack my body dies instantly. In the name of Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's Romans 8, verse 2. All these have a foundational scripture. Christ dwells within me. Greater is he that is within me than anything that is in the world. The life of God within me repels. It repels every attack by sickness and disease upon my bodies. Romans 8 and 9 and 1 John 4:4. One more on this and we'll move ahead. My blood pressure, even your blood pressure, is 120 over 80. My heartbeat is strong and regular, sending pure blood throughout my body. My veins and arteries are unclogged. That's Matthew 11:23. And that's the scripture that we were, or Mark 11:23. And that's the scripture we were at earlier. Now, this is the one I would do on financial. And we have those, and we'll have those available to you as you're looking at these notes. 2 Corinthians 8:9. These are for financial increase. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Deuteronomy 8:18. I shall remember the Lord my God, for it is he that gives me the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sworn unto my father. This is 3 John 1:2. The Lord desires, or verse 1, or 3 John 1:2. Get it straight in a moment. The Lord desires above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Matthew 6:23. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. Psalms 35:27. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of me, his servant. John 10:10. Jesus came that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isaiah 48:17. The Lord, my God, teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. Psalms 34:10. I seek the Lord, so I shall not lack any good things. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall also freely. And you say these acclamations with your person, first person. You're not making these, you're making them to God about yourself, and you're saying, you're putting yourself in this. Shall, it says here, he that spared not his own son, but delivered, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall also freely give me, give you all things. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon me. Hebrews 8:6. Jesus is my mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And Hebrews 6:12. I am not slothful, but a follower of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And there's another side to this whole page, and which is available for you as you complete this particular process. So what I would say to you is I would tell you to please change your world. Do those things that are applicable to bring a change to your world and bring an existence of the outside looking like the inside. And you'll find out the more that you speak God's word through confession, the more you'll see things systematically begin to change in your life. Amen. So I hope this helps. Stay with us. Continue to watch these lessons and continue to grow in these discipleship training manual lessons. Amen. God bless you.